This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is waiting for his internet connection still. In fact, where he lives, the boondocks are boondocks or something like that. Anyway, we continue with Dr. Irina Scott. I wanted to ask you here, with regard to MUFON, there have been some controversies about MUFON in recent months. Have you kept abreast of that?
I've read some of it.
Well, I just want to get your take on some of it. I mean, I'm assuming here that you're not going to obviously speak for the organization or anything, but
no.
Don't want to get you in trouble here.
Yeah.
Actually, we're troublemakers, so sometimes we do, but don't want to get you in trouble. So with MUFON, they had this brouhaha over a certain state director who made some racially charged remarks on Facebook, and finally they let him go as the state director in Pennsylvania, and that caused some problems. Were you acquainted with that?
Well, I read about it, and I don't think I was directly acquainted with it. He wrote to me later and gave me an invitation to a friendship information invitation on Facebook, and I rejected that.
It's got an organization, I think, in a troubling position where somebody who has a public posture with the organization is state director. He's a co-host of the Hangar One TV show, John Ventry, and he's making these statements, and suddenly the organization's kind of been put in the crosshairs. It's hard enough to make UFOs respectable, but if you got something like this happening, it's got to make everyone uncomfortable, don't you think?
It made a number of people uncomfortable, and a number of people quit MUFON. I mean, I'm a low-level person now, but several people did.
This came not long after. You've probably heard of Erica Lukes. She was telling a story about her experiences just being a female in the organization, and you had mentioned you'd had some issues with being female with respect to astronomy. Have you run into any flack yourself or that might corroborate Erica's claims, or do you find that everything has been fine for you?
Several years ago, I was on the board of MUFON as the director of publications, but I got very busy and they reorganized, and I just wasn't very active from then on. And so, yes, I think things are difficult for females, and some other people I know have really complained about that sort of thing from several UFO organizations.
So not just MUFON itself, but you're finding it's kind of an old boys club kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
What can we do to change that?
The old boys are...
Well, of course, if they all get old and die off, then it doesn't matter because attrition will take care of it.
Yeah, I think there's some people that are really bigoted, and I hope they're older people.
Well, we hope then we don't want them to necessarily die off, but maybe they'll retire.
I didn't mean silence or dying, I just retiring.
You know, that's what I'm thinking of, sure, that they'll retire. And that will be the end of it. What about the inner circle in MUFON, where you give a $5,000 a year?
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of spending $5,000 a year if I had it on other things. But you give $5,000 a year, and you get yourself into this little space. And it had, as of the last time I checked, 13 members, four of which have served as international director. It almost leads you to believe that the first step to become director, other than James Carrion, someone I didn't think had that kind of wealth, you buy your way into the organization first with a donation. What do you think?
Yeah, I read that too. And I think some people are still in there that maybe shouldn't be. I mean, that's my opinion. But just as long as they don't have any power, and they may have power, so I don't know. Buying your way in doesn't sound like a good idea. But it's, in practice, it's done a whole lot of places besides UFO organizations.
Yeah, I guess there's no accepting any bureaucratic structure from the possibility of corruption when it's set up that way to facilitate it if that's what someone wants to do. So I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. But maybe returning to your book here, if I could ask you, Dr. Scott, that you've got quite a bit of historical information in there. And in your mind, what does it all add up to? If you could sort of sum up in your own mind, well, what is this book? What is the real message that this book is trying to get out? Or is there something that, you know, besides, well, just this is a collection of information and there it is? Or have you got something more pertinent, more focused? What are you trying to say with this book?
What I'm trying to say very, very basically is that I don't think we exactly know what the UFO phenomena is, but that I don't think it's necessarily spacecraft from other planets. That might be a part of it, but I think it's a lot more complex than that. But I think experiments could be done to show more about its nature that haven't been done.
What kind of experiments?
Well, for example, one of the Battelle ideas, and one of mine would be to photograph the spectrum of a UFO, such as if you see one glowing. I mean, this would be very hard to do because they don't show up on time, and you just have to wait and see if you see one. But I think that would be very good study to just see what their spectrum is composed of. I mean, in the case of glowing UFOs. And
sure.
I think, I mean, there's a lot of technology you could come to apply with them, and you could do a lot more with statistics, such as some people, if a few people see one, very, very few people see more than one, and some people see a number. And also there's different patterns with people, such as some people see, have an experience when they're young and then have experiences later. But their questionnaires don't ask how many you've seen and at what age and that sort of thing. And I
excuse me, Irina. Bless you for saying that. This is an argument I've had about MUFON for a while, that they focus in their sighting reports on the event, not the person who experiences that event.
Yeah, I think a lot more information would come out of it if there were more information on the people, because there's a lot more studies you could do on that, and that may be just as pertinent as a description of what they think is an aircraft that might not be.
I know I mentioned this to Jan Harzan when he was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the best I could say is he said he'd look into it, which he probably won't. He said, well, we collect information if it's given to us, if it's volunteered. But that's not being proactive in knowing how to ask those questions to bring it out of people. I assume that takes some kind of level of training, too. You just don't walk in there and you ask some sometimes very private details about a person's life experiences and how it might relate to UFOs. If they see ghosts, if they see Bigfoot, you know, all these things, what about the family members? Did they have a history of strange experiences? Sometimes a particular family, as you know, tends to see more things than other families. My family, of course, must be a big zero, but that's how it goes. Dr. Irina Scott, with Gene and with Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, a little foray briefly into MUFON, and now we're going to get on to other subjects, except for the last thing. So, Irina, MUFON's last symposium. Were you at it?
No.
Okay, so they, instead of talking about UFOs, they're talking about the secret space program. They're bringing on some people of different capabilities and reliability, including a couple of time travelers. Now, this is an organization designed for the scientific exploration of UFOs. Where's a justification to have an event like that other than to fill seats?
I don't know, because I just started reading about some of the speakers and what they said. I just haven't had time to get into reading too much about it, so I don't have too much of an opinion right now. I apologize for that. I'm reading things now, but I don't have any much of a background because I just didn't have time to do it last week. Sorry.
Nothing to apologize for. These things come. We're just trying to get the focus of UFO investigation and where things are occurring. Let's get back to your story, because you spend so much on the field and a lot of the people in the field, and also a lot of the background in terms of the history and the efforts to cover up the UFO mystery. Now, is that going on today, or is that mostly long ago and far away in the early years of the UFO field? Do they even care anymore?
Yeah, I think there's still UFO sightings. I think it's kind of more difficult to study in a way, because people can fake all kinds of things.
And well, let's talk about sightings so much as the cover-up.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's still a cover-up. Because what people are reluctant to report anything, for one thing, and I think if there were no cover-up, people would be out in the open reporting things. Because most people that have sightings don't report them. And that's a cover-up, just mentally, of causing people to think everybody would say you're crazy and you're lying and that sort of thing.
But do they really? I mean, when we see the polls, there's actually a lot of people who do recognize that the phenomenon is legitimate. And how much of this is just sort of hype, and how much of it is actually true? Whenever I've done some research into this, I haven't really found a lot of examples where people have really actually been harmed in any way by saying that they are interested in UFOs. In fact, sometimes quite the opposite. So it seems like almost it's a self-perpetuating myth by saying, well, we can't talk about it because everybody will think we're crazy, but everybody out there already knows it, so we're really not that crazy after all.
Well, it's like the government has been making fun of UFOs ever since almost they started, and they've come up with ridiculous explanations for what people see. And you'd think the whole idea would just go away because the government has, you know, has insinuated that there's no UFOs, and if anybody sees them, they're crazy. But people are still highly interested and still open-minded, and I think that's because a lot of people have some UFO experiences, even though they don't talk about it.
Actually, I think what the government says, their official line, is that they don't represent a threat to national security. They don't actually tell people you're crazy. There was some suggestion by the CIA that witnesses should be ridiculed, but that was a long time ago. And since then, I mean, it's one of the most popular subjects in modern culture now. It's in advertising, it's in books, it's on TV. Anywhere you look, it's infiltrated its way right into pretty much everything that we do. So I think that the stigmatism is a whole lot less powerful than what people sometimes make it out to be. I mean, I've never really had a problem myself. I tell people I'm into UFOs, and they go, oh, cool. That's interesting. Have you ever seen one?
I was working as news director of a radio station in southeast Pennsylvania, and we had all those sightings in the early 70s. So I carried the stories. I was also putting out a UFO magazine. At no time did my bosses at the radio station come to me and say, what are you doing this craziness for? So either they were interested or just didn't care.
Yeah, and I mean, you got guys like George Knapp. He's like a legitimate news person on a television station. He does this all the time.
When they brought on Hillary Clinton, and she indicated an interest in UFOs, oh, they're called UAPs now, that kind of thing.
Right.
It was reported very straight, and as much as they criticized her for 1,000 different things, real or imagined, when it came to UFOs, nobody attacked her. They asked those questions seriously.
Right. So, you know, I think it might be a whole lot less impactful in people's lives. I mean, this is one of the things the skeptics bring up, is when people make this argument that it's something that you just can't talk about. They did a study on airline pilots, and although there's a bunch of sort of stories and urban myths, they couldn't find a single example of any airline pilot who had reported a case and actually was censured by anybody. I mean, this is what they say. There's just aren't any. You know, they say, well, we don't want to report. We have to report it. Maybe it's extra paperwork or something. But, you know, nobody's getting demoted or fired or something like that that we know of, that there's actually evidence for. So maybe what we need to do is, instead of, you know, constantly saying, oh, we can't talk about it because of the stigmatism, we should be saying, what stigmatism? You know, that was a 1950s Cold War thing. It's like calling everybody communist. It's long past and gone. So let's just say, get it out there in the open. Don't be afraid. Talk about it if you've seen one.
Well, I attempted to publish some UFO items in the scientific literature, and I was able to, which I was quite happy about. I published the information in a scientific way, though. But on the other hand, some of my relatives, even when they found out I was writing a book on UFOs, really harassed me and started telling me all about how the stars are too far away, you can't get there from here or there, here from there, and all that. So I think there's different harassments in different places.
Oh, sure. There's pros and cons. It is a controversial subject. But, I mean, even the fact that they knew about it and were willing to talk about it and they had some idea meant that they'd kind of looked into it from one point of view. So what did you tell them? I mean, you've taken astronomy. Did you have a rebuttal for the stars are too far away? They can't get here from there?
I would obviously have the rebuttal that we may not be the highest level of intelligence in the universe, because the universe has been here for like almost 14 billion years, and we've only been here about several hundred thousand. Entities could be way ahead of us, so far ahead of us that we wouldn't even comprehend anything about them. So that's one argument I would give. But still, people seem to think it's a scientific view that UFOs are flim-flam, and that anybody that writes a book about it or anything is just out to get people and get money from people's vulnerability and all that.
I'm Gene Steinberg. She's Dr. Irina Scott. And we have J. Randall Murphy with us. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
At Humalife, we believe your health is your wealth. That's why we offer an exclusive, potent, and pure selection of OMRI-certified 100% organic humic and fulvic acid concentrates. These two acids stop viruses and harmful bacteria and increase frequency, vibration, and vitality. In fact, they're called the missing link to your health. Pure liquid organic ATP energy rebuilds and regrows the immune system. You are the doctor at Humalife. You know best because you are the test. Find out more at HumalifeUSA.com. That's HumalifeUSA.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
A great president once said, "The 9 most feared words in the English language. I am from the government and I'm here to help. Adequacy of loss absorbing capacity. You call that help? That's the mandate approved by the G20. The banks can steal your money." Well, they can't steal your gold and silver that you fully control. You can have it delivered into an IRA at a depository under lock and key, where you can hide it where no one can find it, not even your wife.
What?
Sorry, honey. Your CDs, money market accounts, and savings accounts are all at risk. Call GSI Exchange at 800-474-9159. We have 75 years of market experience. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. 800-474-9159. Call now and get a free bank failure survival guide. 800-474-9159.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Briefly, Irina, when you mentioned being in it for the buck, writing a UFO book, as you know full well, having written a UFO book, very, very few people who do this sort of thing make very much money at it.
That was my impression. And I think a lot of the research is done as volunteers because there's no government study. But I think there's nothing against them from the government, from people. I think there is, because I think it's kind of important if a certain amount of people see and experience the UFO phenomena. But I think that if the government were serious, they would do a serious study, and they haven't that I know of. I mean, they're not appropriating any money to study UFOs that I know of.
Well, unless you look at the trillions of dollars that Secretary Rumsfeld suggested were missing from the Pentagon in a statement before 9/11. You heard that one, didn't you?
Yeah, it could be, but I'm not arguing that it isn't. I'm saying that I don't think there's too much evidence that there is, but obviously if it was black budget, you wouldn't know. But if they knew, well, you'd think they would say something.
To paraphrase the phrase in that movie, well, you don't believe they're spending $700 to make a toilet seat, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you think, though, in terms of keeping the secret or debunking UFOs, does the government have guilty knowledge of anything? Do they know an answer, or is it something that is going on and they are as clueless as the rest of us?
Well, I would guess from my experience with the DIA that there's probably people in the government in various compartmental places with certain security clearances that maybe know about it. But I don't think it's anything general in the government. I mean, if you go up and ask somebody in CIA, UFOs exist, well, they'll give their own opinion because there's no CIA opinion. But there's probably higher-ups that do know something. You have to have a certain security clearances to find out about it.
And they, of course, have the equipment to do the kind of research that you talk about, say, doing spectral analysis or measurements from by radar or LIDAR, whatever they happen to have that can track this stuff. So somebody there knows a whole lot more than we do, and they're not telling us. That much is, in my opinion, a certainty. But, I mean, are they justified in not telling us? I mean, perhaps so. The detection methods that they use to be able to track these things is going to be classified in and of itself. And thereby, if they tell us how they were able to track it, and they tell us all the details about what was tracked, then that's going to reveal possibly classified information about the capability of their tracking detection equipment. So really, maybe there's a legitimate reason for them to not tell us about that. I mean, okay, there's something up there. They're not a threat to national security, but that's about all we can say. And that's pretty much about what they have said. You know, when you think about it, it's not like there's been a huge cover-up. There's been declassified documents. People from who've been involved have come out and made statements for the public about it. So, you know, it's not as big a cover-up as maybe some people might claim.
I don't know, because if they knew, if particular people in the government knew something, no matter how horrible it was, I think they should open up and say what they know. Even they don't have to say specifically how they got the information. But nobody, no authority has come and said, yeah, that's right, and officially said anything.
Well, yeah, I would agree that it would be nice if we were to know, but I mean, unless they can give us some details that are believable, nobody is going to believe it. And then if they do give us details that are believable, people are going to wonder how they got it, including people who might be enemies of the state. And they're going to go, oh, well, they can track that and they know this and they're looking here and they've got that ability. So that type of stuff, I can see having a legitimate classification where people, you know, they really shouldn't say anything about it. So it leaves us in the public sector to sort of come up with studies of our own. I'm noticing here that you mentioned the optical spectra studies. You've heard of Bruce McAbee, I trust.
Yeah.
He did a reanalysis of the Battelle Memorial Institute Project Blue Book files. So I imagine if you haven't seen that you might be interested, because he is an optical physicist who looked at that specific information. And have you heard of Ray Stanford?
I have Bruce's book, and I've talked to him about UFOs a little bit. About Ray Stanford?
Yeah, Ray Stanford, our Christopher O'Brien, he believes that Ray Stanford has some really good information and pictures, and from, if I recall correctly, that some of them do have this kind of spectral study going on with it. Actually, right now, if you were to get a hold of Chris, he could give you, put you in touch with Stanford, because apparently, if you've got some credentials like you have, he's willing to share some of this information, and if it seems to be legitimate and can be peer-reviewed, he will release it. So if I could maybe point you in that direction, that might be something you could be interested in.
Oh, yeah, I'd be real interested. If there's any way you can help me get in contact with him, that would be great.
Also, if you check the archives of our radio shows on the Paracast at theparacast.com, we did several episodes with Ray Stanford. Of course, his claim to fame is the investigation that he did on the Sicaro, New Mexico case. So that particular case, I know that you've heard of Kevin Randall. He's writing a book now on Sicaro. Did you look at that case at all for your book?
Sicaro?
Yeah.
Or Roswell?
The Zamora case, you know, the policeman there?
Yeah, I've looked at it and read it, and I know somebody that had been debunking it for 3 years, but I think it's an excellent case, because they even found the imprints in the desert when they went out to look for it later. And I think it was one of the events that caused Dr. Hynek to start considering that UFOs may be real.
I assume the person you were talking to about skepticism over Sicario is Anthony Bregaglia, right?
But I think if what he said was true, that it would take a lot more technology to do it than just a few students from a university.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. There was some liner notes and some documents that suggested that it might be a prank by some of the Polytechnic technical facility there, and that just doesn't, it really doesn't wash with what Zamora experienced.
Yeah, that was my opinion.
It's also interesting this came up recently, but it hasn't gone very far. I did invite Bregaglia to maybe debate with Ray Stanford over Sicario, but he's not inclined to want to go on radio shows, I guess. So that's where it goes. Let's just move back because we're covering the early part of the UFO field, and we'll bring up the R word, Roswell. Mm-hmm. Now, you had met up with somebody who might have been a possible new witness to the case. But in general, before we go into that segment of the book, and we'll carry this over to our next segment, do you believe that Roswell represented some kind of unknown phenomenon? Was it a test aircraft, a balloon? What do you think? We're going to find out in our next segment. I want to remind listeners to check out the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. You get the commercial-free version of this show, the After the Paracast podcast, and more. With Gene and our guest co-host, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks.
GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Irina Scott, what do you think about Roswell?
Well, I investigated it from several different angles, and some in Mattel, too, because they thought if any material went to Wright-Patterson, where it would go would be Mattel Memorial Institute. Mattel Memorial Institute is I think it's the largest private research institute. They were developers of the Xerox and the CD and different things like that, and they had real good metallurgists who worked on the Manhattan Project, and were important in developing the atomic bomb. And they also have been in charge of Hanford and Oak Ridge and different places like that. They're really experts on metallurgy and that sort of thing. When they did the study, which you're referring to, the SR-14, what the people they hired, the people at Project Blue Book hired to do the study, were metallurgists. And I mean, that wasn't the field they needed at all. They were trying to do a statistical study and invent a questionnaire. And so they hired metallurgists. And in Battelle, from way, way back, before anybody heard of Roswell, it was strongly in the grapevine that everybody was wondering if they were looking at artifacts because of having the metallurgists. And people went to great trouble with question them, and nobody ever cracked, as they say. But I did publish one thing of where one of the scientists, and he was a good scientist, he was in the American Men of Science, and he wrote research papers on things that were with people about metallurgy with people that had been on the Blue Book study also. And he told somebody way back in the 50s that he had studied material not of this world, and he had something like an I-beam with hieroglyphics on it. It was some kind of writing he was supposed to identify. And he just come out and said he was working on this project from something from a different world. And I published that in 1994. And then in the book Witness to Roswell, they wrote about it. And then it was all over the internet for quite a while about memory metal and this person at Mattel and what I'd uncovered and nitrinol and all that. So I did come up with something that suggested that Mattel was working on something from Roswell or some kind of extraterrestrial material. And I had reported that. And there were a number of other things that made me think something was going on. For example, the government explained it as a Mogul balloon. And these were top people. I mean, Roswell, the 509th Air Force Division, were who dropped the bombs on Japan. And they were really top people. And so you wouldn't think they would mistake a balloon for a craft from another planet. And I was just investigating from several angles.
But there was no real corroborating evidence that BMI actually did have in its possession any of the materials. This is sort of passed along information, anecdotal evidence, so to speak.
Yeah.
You never ran across any actual reports at the Institute that were documented or anything like that?
Just the Pentagram letter from Howard Cross from Mattel, where, I mean, he just said that they were working on UFOs and developing studies. But, I mean, that's pretty hardcore evidence. That was reported a long time ago. And one thing I would say is hard evidence is that they were giving a radio broadcast from Roswell while the airplane was taking material to Wright-Patterson. And the announcer stopped right in the middle and said he had called Wright-Patterson and they were expecting the airplane to come in any minute. And I'd say that's pretty good evidence that something was sent from Roswell to Wright-Patterson.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think that there's a number of things about Roswell that we can safely assume that something did happen, that some materials were picked up, and that they were shipped off and studied someplace. It also doesn't seem reasonable that it was a Mogul balloon or a weather balloon. But apart from that, I mean, we really don't know what it was, and the rest is sort of urban myth. So nobody actually saw the ship crash or saw a ship itself, you know, in the process of this. This is a bunch of materials. And so I'm not sure that we can really take Roswell as to be the smoking gun we maybe once thought it was.
Yeah, but it was funny, though, because, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that's true or not true. I'm just listing things. But I talked to the daughter of Hout, who was the announcer that announced that they had found a flying disc. And she said that the higher-ups had told him to announce that. And then later, they said, take it back, that there was no crash or no disc or anything. And that seemed a little bit fishy, too, so I just don't know.
You know, Stan Friedman, he was right in on those investigations back at the beginning. And what do you think about the whole MJ-12 affair? Do you think that there was such a thing? And what do you make of the documents themselves?
I had worked for the government, and I saw real documents. And with the MJ-12, I mean, I'm not a professional ufologist. I worked in science my whole life. And so I didn't have vast amounts of time to study things. But I couldn't find any, I mean, the MJ-12 are purported to be government documents that are leaked. But I couldn't find any evidence at all that where you can trace them back to the government. So I just never paid too much attention to them. The last one that came out was, came out around the 1st of June. It's an MJ-12 paper that said it was from the DIA and talked about this living alien that liked strawberry ice cream and everything, which I had heard before. But it just impressed me as rather fake.
That's the curious thing with me that I find. I mean, either this was a really clever hoax by somebody that Friedman became affiliated with perhaps unknowingly, you know, almost brilliant as an idea to perhaps shake the tree and see if something shakes out. Or what we've got is people preparing these documents who we don't know who they are, actually going into the Library of Congress and planting them there to be found. So it's like somebody's going to real great length to put information out there that would make us think that, well, no, nothing really happened. And so maybe that in itself is kind of suspicious. I mean,
it's suspicious because somebody went to a lot of trouble to check things out and get the reports right. I don't think it would be too hard to get the font and everything on everything like that on the documents, but the information in them I think would be very difficult. And it's somebody went to a lot of trouble to do that.
And nobody's come out to say, well, it was me. This shows how gullible UFO researchers are. I mean, there have been hoaxes planted by skeptics in the past, but nobody's come out to say, yeah, it was us. You know, we went in and we did it. This just shows how easily it can all be faked. Instead, nothing. I mean, the whole thing is really quite curious. And Friedman still believes, I believe, the one document is genuine, and that he sort of suggested the rest have been just kind of a smokescreen put out there by these sort of unseen people who knows who exactly they work for, if they work for anyone.
Well, yeah, part of that hoax was due to two people, Condor and Falcon, they were called, and they were, I think it was UFO Live or something, a TV show in the late 1980s that convinced, that just looked like a real government, something real the government was showing. And one time when I was at Wright-Patterson, I was sent by my employer, but I stopped by the Sky Rider, which is the Wright-Patterson newspaper, and put out an ad asking for informants, which I didn't expect to find, but anyway. But I did. And the person that answered was called Bob Collins.
With Gene and with J. Randall Murphy, we continue. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Everything you've been told about identity theft prevention is a flat-out lie. No one can prevent identity theft. No one. Go to LibertyID.com and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. LibertyID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration. LibertyID fixes the fallout for you. LibertyID does all the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com.